Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Why does making friends as an adult feel so
what
hard?
What should I wear on a first date?
What the hell is a formal
but that why is was not first good. Home
so what do I want my life to look like in 5 years?
We want to know too.
Since 2012, the Every Girl has been an online destination to help women around the world achieve the life of their dreams. Now, we're excited to bring you the same inspiring content with the Every Girl podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Every Girl podcast.
Hi. Welcome back.
Emma, I feel like you have discovered the most genius invention since sliced bread. Will you share with our audience about the sports bar for watching The Bachelor?
This is like the greatest discovery I've ever made. I want to be in like a third space with other people and experiencing it in the way that men experience major sporting events. And so I did a little research with my friends, and for the past couple of weeks, we have been going to a bar bachelor night, and they like put rose petals on the table. It's very girlhood, and all the girlies are there. Everyone's there in like their leggings and sweatshirts. They have wine on tap, and we watch The Bachelor all together at a bar like it's a sporting event. All I can say is, even though this season is almost over, if you live in a major city, there's definitely got to be something like this near you, and I highly recommend it.
If you were to be like Josie Santi, what is your heaven? If you were to die and envision heaven a certain way, I would say there is wine on tap and The Bachelor's playing and I'm at a bar and I'm in leggings and a sweatshirt.
Yes. Like,
literal magic. Here's my question, though. Do people talk and do you get annoyed at people talking, or like, can you hear what's happening in the show?
They play it really loud. People do chit chat, obviously, because it's a bar full of
women,
over 100 women for sure. But I haven't found it too distracting. They also have the subtitles on the TV. So you can pay attention to the degree that you want.
My problem has been that where friends will be like, let's watch The Bachelor, or like, let's watch Vanderpump Rules together and things. And I couldn't fathom that. My boyfriend, Joey, he is lucky if I invite him in the room with me when I'm watching these shows, because I need like dead silence. I need to be focused. But I could understand it being like, oh, it's just such a fun environment. If I could see the subtitles, that makes it better. I just don't like to miss a word. I need to hear everything.
Oh, okay. Then maybe you need your slow life consumption.
I think it's an experience that we all should experience at some point. It's kind of like being in the Eras Tour, where you're in this together.
Exactly.
When this goes live, it would have just been after the Women Tell All. So we haven't seen the Women Tell All yet. So that's where we are in the season as of recording date. Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts? Who do you want to win? Who's your front runner?
Honestly, I really don't care. I like Joey a lot because he's just sort of an undiplomatic king. But I do think he has the most chemistry with Kelsey A. The way he looks at her, he's just like so googly eyes over her. But my thought on this season is that the person who carried it was in fact Maria.
I physically could not agree more. My passion for Maria, I have not liked a contestant this much since JoJo was on Ben Higgins' season of The Bachelor. Every time I say this to people that I like love her and I want her for Bachelorette, people are like, what? She's so immature. That would be so dramatic. I don't understand that at all. To me, she was not dramatic. She was unproblematic. She was like the classic, like, have you heard of the siren archetype? As women, we're trained to see like these siren women as competition, like they're going to steal our men. That's what we witnessed live. Maria did nothing. Like, she was unproblematic. She was so positive. And then these other women saw her as this siren threat, whether that was a subconscious thing or not. To me, that's what played out. We all saw that there was no beef. There was nothing that Maria did that was
actually wrong.
No, people were grasping at straws because they saw this like confident, fun siren energy. Mm-hmm. And they have been programmed to think, oh, those are the women that we can't trust. They're going to like steal our men or whatever the patriarchal bullshit is. I know that The Bachelor is this crazy experiment that is nothing like real life dating. But you kind of want to see some semblance of normalcy when you're watching these love stories play out.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like them together. I didn't want her to win. Honestly, I think he's like a little too boring for her. But I still loved her the best because she brought out such a fun side of him. True relationships are not about let me trauma dump on you and let me share the most dramatic story of my life so that I get camera time. Relationships are what we saw with Maria and Joey, which was like they had fun. She wasn't trying to come at him and talk about drama or serious shit all the time. And I think she was like, am I missing something? She never did anything problematic.
I don't understand the hate at all. This is going to be controversial, but I'm going to say it anyway. She's a very easy character on reality TV to be annoyed with. But sometimes people just are annoying. We have to let women sometimes be annoying. They're allowed to do that. And so I think all of the criticism just stems from a really like sexist place, honestly, and a place that is frustrated with women who are as outspoken as she is. So I was a big fan. I also did not think she was right for Joey. I agree. I think he's a little too boring for her. And I would love to see her as Bachelorette, if nothing else, for like the men who would be on her season. I feel like would be really entertaining. I feel like she carried this season.
She's got to be exhausted from carrying the Bachelor franchise on her bare back.
Yeah.
This is an official Maria Stan account. No Maria slander will be welcome. We accept other opinions, but we love her.
Yeah.
Maria for Bachelorette. So I don't even know if this counts as tea. In my brain, I'm unraveling this as tea. Last weekend, I went to a bar, Desert 5 in Hollywood, okay? And then I see Daisy pass right in front of me. And then I see she's with literally the entire cast. I don't want to say literally the entire cast. Every recognizable person. Maybe like the one-nighters that go home first night. Like, I don't know if they were there, but Sydney was there. Leah was there. Daisy and Rachel were both there, but Kelsey A was not. Which to me, I took as potential tea. It still is weird to me that Daisy and Rachel would be out, period, when they're still in the running. We still don't know if they end up with Joey or not. If they're out and Kelsey A is not, wouldn't you just assume that it's Kelsey A?
Interesting. I appreciate knowing that. I mean, it sort of confirms suspicions for me personally.
Kelsey A at this point seems obvious anyway. I agree what you said earlier. They have the best chemistry. I just think he like likes her more. I loved her hometown. I sobbed through her entire hometown. Her dad. Okay, can I say something? And then this is the last thing we'll say about Bachelor, and then we can move on with our lives. But I have something important I need to share.
Go for it.
Kelsey's dad was the most healthy parent that I remember in recent Bachelor history. He wasn't being this protector, like, I need to question you and make sure you have the right intentions and I'm not going to give you my blessing unless the other girl's gone and like the things that we normally see. He was just such like a woke dad. He was like, you know what? I trust Kelsey. He said something like, if she gets her heart broken, she's going to be okay too. I always want to yell at the TV when we see these hometowns is because it's like, the worst instance is they get their heart broken, but look at what they've learned. Look at how they've loved. I don't have children, so I don't know how it is, but I would imagine anyone that I love, my sister, my friends, I would rather them get their heart broken 1,000 times over and live because I know that they're going to be okay. Mm. It's not my job to protect anyone from not experiencing life. So I just thought it was such a refreshing perspective from a dad that we don't see on a lot of these hometowns.
I actually think that is an amazing point. And dare I say that Kelsey's dad had every dad energy.
He had every daddy energy, if you know what I'm saying.
Josie.
Too far?
I do know what you're saying.
He was hot. Like, was he not?
Yeah. Okay. We have to move on.
Okay, we're moving on. We're moving
on. That's our final word on The Bachelor.
Wrap that up with a bow. All right, let's get into Ask the Evergirl, Emma. What you got for me this week?
The question is, any tips for improving digestion? I get such bad bloating. I'm so uncomfortable after every meal.
Oh my God, this is my favorite topic because I have dealt with so many digestive issues for so freaking long. I've tried literally everything and nothing has worked besides these things I'm about to share. I feel like these are things that we're not talking about. You know, when people talk about gut health, we're all missing the easiest, most effective things.
Also, for everyone listening, please know that everything I know about digestion and gut health, I learned from Josie. And
Emma, thank you.
The tips that I've actually tried, because I'm notorious for saying that I will improve my digestion and then not doing that, the tips that I have tried do work. So please take it away.
Well, after I share mine, I want to hear what tips have worked for you. First tip, get your body into rest and digest before every single meal or snack that you eat. Digestion requires energy. And the body is so smart that when it knows you need energy for other things, it will put less energy into digestion. For example, everyone's heard of this example with fight or flight response. Like if your body perceives a potential threat, like a tiger, the energy goes into running away or fighting. That's why your heart beats faster, you start to sweat, you get jittery. When you're feeling stressed, it's because your body's understanding that as like there's a threat present, we have to run away or we have to fight. In order for the energy to go into all those physical responses, it halts digestion so that the energy can go into running away or fighting rather than digesting food. Stress halts digestion. When we talk about the relationship between stress and digestion and getting into rest and digest, a lot of people think that that means, oh yeah, it's like when you're eating under extreme stress, the body stops digesting. But actually, your digestion will slow down when there's even that little voice in your head that's like, oh, I have to prepare for a meeting in 30 minutes. Or if you're watching TV that's suspenseful, even I dare say the Bachelor finale and you're on the edge of your seat, who is he going to pick? And you're eating dinner. Even that slight stress response is your body thinking, oh, there might be something here. Let's slow digestion so we can start putting energy into the fight or flight. So any amount that you are not fully present, fully calm, fully mindful while you're eating will impact your digestion. After dealing with extreme constipation, extreme bloating, pain after eating everything, stomach aches, nausea for years, this was the main thing that helped me. And trust me when I say it, I tried prescription medications. I've tried literally everything under the sun. This is so wildly effective. So that means don't eat on the go. In my opinion, eating on the go is one of the worst things that has happened to our health as a culture. And then before eating, take a few deep breaths. Just like literally relax your shoulders, take a few deep breaths because that is signaling to your body, I'm safe. There's no threat present. There's no need to go into fight or flight response. I can bring my body into rest and digest. I also tell myself before I eat, and this goes for like snacks too, anything that I'm putting into my digestive system, I just make this like little mental comment to myself and say, I am safe to digest or I'm ready to digest, which sounds very woo-woo, I know, but it's biologically true that you're letting your body know it can switch into rest and digest mode. So however that works for you, if it's just taking a few deep breaths, relaxing your shoulders, if you're like me and you like to give your body that little like, you're good body, you're safe, we can digest, whatever's going to work for you, just bring your body into a state of rest and digest. You'll hear all the time people saying, don't eat at your desk. I eat at my desk while I'm working for breakfast and lunch every single day, pretty much. But what I will do is I'll plan to do some of my work to-dos that are a little more mindless so I can be more mindful while I'm eating. That's really and no matter scary. What, I will still relax my body before eating. So I'm not the person who's going to say, like, don't eat at your desk, don't eat while watching TV. It's just about setting the intention before you go into eating and checking with your body to make sure that you're in a relaxed state.
That's pretty much the one tip that has been the most game-changing for me. I remember before I even knew you, when I just followed you on Instagram, and I saw you share that tip, and I was like, I need to start eating without my phone, because I look at my phone and, like, my cortisol is through the roof and I'm basically in fight or flight response. So I hear from Josie. I now what I've done for the past couple of years is put my phone down. And even now, like living alone, I'll be listening to music or a podcast while I'm cooking. And then I will turn it off and fully be in silence just eating, which I know sounds kind of sad. And it can be kind of sad, but it's also like the best way for my digestion to improve.
Have you noticed a difference in feeling bloated after meals when you do that?
Yeah. And I mean, just generally feeling like I can recognize when I'm full, so I'm not accidentally overeating, which would then make me bloated. Or taking the break, anything that's going to be super anxiety inducing, makes a huge difference in digestion throughout the rest of the day.
What do you do that's anxiety inducing? And how
like,
can I
look at my phone?
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like a work task. And I was like, I'm stressed.
No. To be honest,
it takes that away.
Frankly, like it would be more anxiety inducing for me to be responding to text messages. It's so much more reactive. Like I'm not even going to recognize that I'm eating almost.
Anything that just like allows you to like be in your body and realize that, yes, you are a human with a brain that's thinking all these thoughts, but you are also a body that is actively digesting food. And that takes a lot of energy. Okay, second tip. Digestion begins when you look at your food. You know, like when there's a delicious pasta on the stove cooking and you smell it or you look at it and you can salivate. You even can like salivate when you're thinking of something delicious. That's actually a really important part of the digestion process because saliva is activating digestive enzymes that help us break down food. So start thinking of eating as a process that's meant to be like fully enjoyed. Look and smell your food before eating. Really think about what is this going to taste like? Oh my gosh, this looks so good. The more that you can be so present in that, the more your body responds because the saliva is being activated. And then the saliva contains digestive enzymes, which is helping break down the food, which then will cause less bloating. Chew thoroughly. I know this is such a pain and like the most annoying tip. I definitely am not the girl on TikTok who's telling you to put down your fork between bites, but it is really important to chew your food super thoroughly. Most of the food should be broken down in the mouth. When you swallow, it should be, this is so descriptive and like this is getting gross, but the food you're eating should be mostly broken down by the time you swallow. Your teeth are there to do most of the physical breaking down of food. And then your stomach and intestines are there to break down the little enzymes, extract the nutrients, things like that. In my opinion, this is why so many people experience bloating and digestive problems because the stomach is trying to break down these huge chunks of food that the teeth could have done before it ever reached the stomach. So just chew more thoroughly. I like to take digestive enzymes too before I eat to help my body really digest. I love Hum Nutrition's Flatter Me Digestive Enzyme Supplement. It contains ingredients like ginger, peppermint leaf, fennel seed. Like the ingredients are just good for digestive health as a whole. So it also makes me feel good to just like take it on a regular basis, knowing I'm, you know, doing something for my body. But digestive enzymes help your body break down food to digest better so you won't experience as much bloat. Especially when I was working to heal my gut, I literally took one before every single meal. Now that my gut is a lot better and I'm having less symptoms, I take them before eating something that would bother me, like pizza, pasta, eating out. Even sometimes, like if I have a meal that's heavy in cruciferous vegetables that I know will cause some bloating, I take one capsule before. I especially take them on vacation. Oh my God, it helps so much with vacation bloat. So those have been a game changer. What else? My green juice that I make most mornings. I know I've shared the recipe before on the podcast. I'm currently drinking it as we speak. It has been a game changer for my digestion. If you missed when I've talked about this before, it's spinach, cilantro, cucumber, pineapple, mint, lemon, and ginger. And then I top it with coconut water. So that has a ton of really good nutrients for your digestion. Pineapple has bromelain, which are enzymes that digest protein. Mint calms the stomach muscles. Lemon is also really amazing at digesting food. Ginger is amazing at digestion. All these things that are setting up my digestion for the day. I definitely notice such a difference when I'm drinking this juice in the mornings, but also you could try it as something that you have after dinner to settle your stomach after eating. It kind of just, I think, depends on your body, what feels best. The last tip that I would say for bloating and digestive discomfort is to go on walks after eating. When we had Tyla Burke on, who was the founder of My Girl Wellness, I asked her for her number one gut health non-negotiable. And she said that it was taking a 10 to 15 minute walk after meals. And to me, that makes a lot of sense. Like digestion, again, requires so much energy. It's such an active thing. So when we're just sitting on the couch watching TV after eating this meal, everything's so like stagnant. Getting up and moving and just doing like a very gentle walk really helps fire up that like digestive power. If you're still having bloating after doing these things and being really routine with them, get a SIBO test. Talk to your doctor about stool tests and finding out like what actually is going on in the gut.
Every time we have these conversations, I'm like, I am going to take the digestive enzymes and I am going to go on a 10 to 15 minute walk. But anyone who needs that extra boost of motivation should definitely listen to our episode with Tayla Burke and also our episode with Organic Olivia. Those are both great ones for people who are like me and feel apathetic about fixing the digestive problems that you have to sort of motivate you. Highly recommend.
Great plug, Emma. Those are great ones for any kind of gut health, digestive symptoms. Let's dive into today's episode. Lizzie Mathis is a successful model and actor whose latest endeavors include founding Cool Mom Co. I was so impressed with Lizzie this conversation. I absolutely loved her energy. She has had such an incredible career, which started when she randomly decided to enter a beauty pageant in high school. And since then, she has appeared in major blockbuster movies and most recently teamed up with her BFF, Jessica Alba, NBD, that your best friend is Jessica Alba.
Casual.
Together, they're co-hosting the home renovation show, Honest Renovations. In this episode, we dive into all of Lizzie's takeaways from her career, from how she gained confidence and didn't let rejection affect her, to the lessons that she learned working with the most powerful people in Hollywood. She also shares some really great tips to apply to your life, too, like why imposter syndrome is actually a manifestation tool. That was so interesting. So let's get into it all. Welcome to the show, Lizzie Mathis. Going back to your childhood, going way back, what would young Lizzie think of the person that you are now?
Wow. Young Lizzie, I don't think would have ever thought she would be here, but I think she'd be like, wow, I'm so glad we're happy. We're happy. I think she'd feel good about that. It's an interesting question, though. I think when I was super young, I thought that I was going to be in the medical field. I had a heart murmur issue when I was younger. And so I thought I was going to be a doctor. And over time, my passions, they just changed. And I said, hey, that's a lot of school. And I think just honestly being in front of and behind the camera really started to become a very intense interest. And so I think I've always figured out the best method to make that happen. After college, it was modeling and acting. And it wasn't until I had my kids where I was like, you know what? I really want to control my voice and I want to control my image and I want to control the brands that I work for and the things that I do and start to create this business now where I was in control instead of waiting for the phone to ring and waiting for someone else to determine what my image and my voice, I now could take control of that.
So entrepreneurship for you was really taking your power back.
Yeah, it really was. Anyone who's been in the entertainment industry knows this very well. You're constantly at the beck and call, at least in that time. Now I think it's very different. Now I think even as a creative and as an entertainer, you have the power to really take things into your own hands. But at that time, social media wasn't as much of a place where people sourced out creatives as it is now. Making that switch was before my time. And I think also it was, hey, this is a way where I feel more comfortable, where I'm able to say yes and no, instead of waiting for the phone to ring and someone else making that decision for me.
And what a powerful way to do that, to be like, I get to take control of my destiny.
I think anytime that you have a major switch in life, anytime there's a major transition in your world, for me at the time, it was kids. I was becoming a mom. That major shift in my day-to-day, into my routine, into my time commitments, what I value, time and my family was extremely important to me when my child came into this world. When major transitions happen, you make interesting decisions. And that was something immediately that I was just like, you know what? I need to control my time now because my time is really important. If I'm away from my child, it has to be something that I really, really want to do. And I need to control where my face and my image and my voice is going because now it really matters with my child what I am putting my intention behind. When it comes to like major transitions, you're like, hold up, let's rethink this.
That's so true. When you're out of your routine, you get to question. You get to look at your life in a different way. Were you questioning the entertainment industry before your children came along, or was it really becoming a mother that you're like, okay, I see things differently now?
Yeah, it's interesting because I really wasn't. I was traveling everywhere. I was busy. I was constantly gone. Getting pregnant, I miscarried first. And I think that was a really big moment for me where I was like, hold up, whoa, this is possible. Like, I'm not superwoman and I'm not invincible. It really humbled me, I think, in many respects and said, hey, take a listen to your body. What's going on? Are you okay? Let's put some real intention behind making sure that my body was at its healthiest state. Every woman that this has ever happened to, it's nothing to do with us. It happens sometimes. And I think that was hard for me mentally to accept that. But once that happened and I finally had a healthy pregnancy, that was important for me to really be intentional about my body, my time, my energy during that period. And so that's when the shift happened. Even though I was working all the time, I started to pull back just a little bit because I wanted to make sure that I wasn't flying too much or I wasn't working too much. And so that's when I started to pull back a little bit, just because I really wanted to be mindful of my energy levels and like my body and like what I could put on myself. And then once I had my daughter, I really started to focus in. I was like, okay, how can I shift this narrative a little bit? How can I make small changes in a slightly different direction? Because everything matters. It wasn't really the career that switched it. It was really becoming a mother and my priorities changing.
That's such an interesting way to describe it that I feel like you don't get to hear a lot, that motherhood actually reshifted your focus to be more centered on you and your body. And you had a different connection with your body than you did before, which is very different than the story we hear about motherhood, which is like, forget yourself and only focus on your kids.
That's what they ingrain us to do, right? They ingrain us, if you're a mom, this is what you have to do. And it took me a minute. I don't want to discount the fact that it took me a minute to get back to who I was and the things that brought me a lot of joy. For the first 2 years, I was heavily into motherhood. Although my work was shifting and my career was shifting, my focus was still all on the baby. I was like, no, whatever she needs. It took me about 2 years to get back to a point where I was like, where is the self-love for me? I need these 15 minutes. I need this hour. I need this day, whatever it is to myself to recharge and to make it super important in my life. Then I got into a routine of the meeting between womanhood. For me, it was just coming to this culmination of like, hey, we can both exist in the same world together in this body and in this place where I can be a woman and I can enjoy all the things that I used to enjoy and still enjoy, but I have to also be a really cool mom and I can enjoy being a mother and all the things that comes along with that. One does not have to exist without the other.
I feel like a lot of first-time mothers experience almost like an identity crisis that we feel shame in talking about because we've been programmed to think, you're supposed to bond with your baby right away. You're supposed to be so happy that there's not room for this, like, hold up, this is a little bit of an identity crisis. So how did you get into the place where you were 2 years down the road where you felt, okay, I'm back to prioritizing me and feeling like myself?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Josie. I wouldn't even characterize it as a crisis. I don't even think it's a crisis. I think it's a transition. Through every transition in life, motherhood included, you're almost like getting rid of a shell and you're coming into the rebirth of a new. It happens in death and it happens in birth. So when a child comes into this world or into your life in any way, shape or form, because there's many ways to become a mother or a parent. And then also when someone close to you passes, there's this whole new way of looking at life personally that has happened to me. Those two moments in my life, there's been new ways of which I start to view the world. It was like, hey, there's a transition happening where the world looks entirely different. And I need to lean in and figure out how do I operate as my more enhanced self in this new world. And so for me, it was flipping it on its head and saying after 2 years, because it took a minute for me to get into my rhythm. But once I got into my rhythm and my routine and I was comfortable being a mother, not an expert by any means, but comfortable in the role in which I now was, then it was like, okay, what do I love doing? What's going to give me joy? Oh, you know what? I find joy when I'm cooking. All right, so I'm going to take a cooking class. What do I get really excited about? I get really excited about when I have moments in the car by myself and I can listen to music or whatever it is. All right, I'm going to do a little bit more of that. I'm going to take a bath. And it really makes me feel good when I can light a candle, put some bath salts, have a whole mood, dim the lights, those little moments, right? I started to focus in. What do I get excited about when I have the time to do it? Now let's make time to do it.
So getting to know yourself, it sounds like, is the first step. Getting to really know what is bringing me joy. What should I be prioritizing?
Yeah, identifying it. You can say, yes, I know me and I know what I operate with and I know what ticks me off, but identify it, write it down, and then make specific time for it. Someone told me a long time ago when I was younger, it's like, yeah, let's do dinner. And she was like, listen, we can say it all the time, but unless we make a plan right here and now and set a date, it's not going to happen. That's the same thing about life. You have to make dates with yourself. And even if that's 15 minutes a day, even if it's once a week, whatever it is for you that you feel good about, that's the only way it's going to come on your calendar.
So true. Whether you're in new motherhood or not, it's so hard for us to prioritize self-care or focus on self. So I think that's such great advice. You have so many interesting facets to your career, to your life. I almost want this episode to be like your life story. So I want to go back, give our audience some context. Now that we have this beautiful picture of you as a mother, I want our audience to know you as Lizzie. I know that you were Miss Teen at Michigan USA. I want to go back there because that's so interesting to me. How did you do this when you were 17? How did you have the confidence to enter a beauty pageant and win?
Confidence is a whole other thing. I've always tried my hardest to be comfortable in my own skin, and that's what I feel confidence is. I always wanted to model. I always thought that it would be something I could do and that I would enjoy because I always loved being in front of the camera. I always loved posing. I always loved that. Traveling the world, meeting different people, getting to experience different cultures and ethnicities. That was always so appealing to me. My hometown is Detroit. I was a Midwest girl. We didn't travel a lot when I was younger by any means. I never had a passport when I was young, so that wasn't even an option. And so for me, I always was so intrigued by that. Someone told me, hey, if you want to model, you should just get into this pageant. It literally was as simple as that. My mom signed me up. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll try it and see what happens. And then you have regionals first and you talk to the judges in your little regional Michigan, your little area. I remember my mom was so excited. And I remember my mom was like, what dress should we get? And I was like, I don't know. The dress that I feel most comfortable in, mom, is the dress that I've worn the three last homecomings in high school. And she was like, okay, that's the dress we're going to wear. It was like this modest little kind of gold, but just like one sheath dress. It wasn't very form-fitting or anything like that. And it was long. And I was like, I feel so comfortable in that. She was like, let's go with that. And we did. And so I'm on stage in my homecoming dress from the last 3 years. My mom couldn't even watch. She had to walk outside of the auditorium because she was just so nervous for me answering these questions on stage. And I won. And then I went on to finals. And it was cool. Like, I got to be around all these different pageant queens. And I was just like this little newcomer. Like, I don't know what you guys are talking about, doing this with this and sticking this butt tape here. And it was just such a shock. I was like, oh my God, I don't know what to do.
Don't people have coaches for years and they go to pageant classes?
It was wild. It wasn't anything that I was raised in. It's not anything that I'd been doing since I was a little girl. My mom thought it'd be great practice for me to get up and speak in front of an audience and be able to use my voice. And it was just me and her figuring out all the little pieces that went along with it. What I will say, though, it was a great experience because it does allow you to speak in front of judges and public audience, and it allows your personality to really shine in on you. But then it gave me a little spark to be able to go to New York and live in New York on my own and be able to talk to people with confidence and not worry about people judging you, because it's going to happen regardless.
I feel like speaking with confidence is an invaluable skill.
It really is. And I don't think at the time you realize that. Being 17, that was the last thing on my mind. But now as an adult, I'm like, you know what? She was onto something.
So you moved to New York. You get into modeling. At what point does acting start to enter your life?
I had gone to school in Chicago, Northwestern first. So I went from Detroit to Chicago. And then I moved to New York to model. But while I was in Chicago, I had my very first acting job on What About Joan? And I was so excited, so excited. I thought I was going to be like a regular on the show. I was like, this is it. And it wasn't, but it was a great, it was a good experience. Then when I moved to New York to start to model full time, I was young. I feel like I was raised in Detroit. I became a woman in New York. I grew up in New York. in terms of my young womanhood. Those moments where you feel like you're really finding your feet, you're becoming a lot more independent. The decisions you make are really impacting what your next 10 years will look like. That was all in New York for me.
What do you think changed so much? Like, what did New York teach you that made you feel like you were stepping into womanhood?
It taught me, one, because I was modeling in New York, it gave me a very thick skin. Not that I didn't have it before, because sometimes the grit of life and things that you experience young in life do prepare you. But I feel like being able to be in rooms constantly where I wasn't always the chosen one, where there was always something wrong with you and you were not always perfect for everything, it really does allow you. And it, for me, I think for some girls, it can allow you to kind of eat away at you. For me, it gave me this sense of like, okay, on to the next. Let's keep it going, because somebody out there is going to tell me yes. No is not really an option. That's not my client. Fine. Can we find the next one? And so it gave me this sense of like, no is okay. They're just not right for me. If they're saying no, then someone else will say yes, which I feel like has carried me so far in other areas of my business and my career and really just my life. Now I'm like, thank God that happened at 24, 22, right? 23, because now it's breezy easy. You can't tell me anything that I don't already know and that I'm okay. I'm okay in my skin, and that's okay if it's not right for you. It's like a blind faith. I think that's what it is. It's a blind faith. And don't get me wrong, I didn't always think it was going to work out. I remember every December I would get on the phone call with my mom and I would cry because I was like, I don't know. For years, I used to do that. I think it was just more of this inner knowing that I cannot please everyone because I am who I am and I'm comfortable with that. I'm comfortable to who I am. And my body type, my hair color, my personality may not be right for everybody. And that's okay because it is who I am. I can't change what you don't like about me or what you don't think is a good fit. And that's okay because I can't get skinnier or fat or rounder or curvier. I can't do any of that. I am what I am. And I think that was the foundation that I was lucky enough to have coming into a business that really, it really just makes you think twice about your self-confidence and who you are. And there's obviously other things. I'm figuring out how to even make this work. I'm on my own. I'm paying bills. I'm on the subway trains and figuring out how to get to this casting and this. And I'm traveling the world and no one holds your hand through this process. You're in Germany by yourself. Figure it out. Get there. Those were the things that I was thinking about. I was just comfortable with me.
Which is so different than a lot of what we hear about the modeling industry. For the last couple of decades where it's been so intensely driven by extreme diet culture, you hear so much toxicity about the modeling industry. And for you to be like, they like me, they like me, I know who I am, why worry about changing what I can't change, is really impressive.
You know what it is, though? I didn't feel like I had a choice. Mm-hmm. I thought that or listen to what everyone had to say and perish. It was my only survival method, because in these situations, you have to survive. And so I was like, okay, how do I survive? How do I survive walking to a casting and seeing 500 girls who look just like me? How do I survive not being a top girl on the board, but still wanting the attention and the clients? How do I survive this? The only way I can protect myself, the only way I can protect my energy, the only way I can protect my mindset is to know that I can't be perfect for everybody. And that's okay. So it was almost like my outward protection against everything else in the world. And all I can do is just show up as myself, because guess what? Everyone else is taken. So this is me. This is what you got. You like it? Great. Let's run with it. You don't? That's okay too.
That's such a good question to ask yourself. How do I survive this? We get so many audience questions about anything from a toxic relationship with a parent to someone at work that's making them feel bad. And I think that's such a good question to ask yourself in any situation. What do I need to do to view this situation differently to protect myself? How do I survive this?
Isn't that what it's all about, though? It's about how do you protect your energy? How do you protect what's sacred to you? Because if your energy or if whatever's sacred to you shatters, you're done. That's where the spiral goes downward. That's where you start to blame you or whatever the case may be. But that's where it initiates, right? Like, so how do you protect you so you can show up to be the best for whatever situation you're in? It first starts with you.
How did you continue to protect your energy when you're getting more into the entertainment and film industry? Does it become a different beast to protect your energy?
Well, I think that was the beauty in it. I had had such a great learning lesson in the modeling industry. You're still in a room. People are still judging you. People are still, you know, you're not right. You're not really perfect. You know, listen, your tone of voice, not really, not this time. It's still that sort of thing. What's interesting is that through that process, through modeling and acting, I learned something very important. I learned that I really enjoyed being me. And for so many years, I was someone else. So in modeling, you are playing a character. It's whoever they dress you up to be. It's whoever fits the creativity behind what the campaign is and what role they want you to play. With acting, obviously the same thing. You're playing a character. You're playing someone else who is outside of yourself a little bit. You're playing whatever role they're asking you to jump into. Through it, I learned that as much as I love that aspect of it and I love the creativity and I love bringing stories to life, I really also enjoy being me. And so creating Cool Mom Co. and having Cool Mom Co. podcast, it's really cool because I get to be me. And it makes me feel really great having a voice being me. I love acting still, but with like the unscripted space, having the home renovation show, doing all the things now that I'm able to do as Lizzie, it's opened up a whole new can for me. I'm just like, wow, this is fun. Because now I get to play and be me and like joke and have fun and show my personality and the different layers of who I am, whereas I never got to explore that before in my career.
For our listeners who don't know, to go from being a model, like so many people move to LA or New York and try to get into acting, but you made the very impossible jump into actually appearing in blockbuster movies. You played Denzel Washington's daughter in Unstoppable. You were in Tron Legacy alongside Jeff Bridges. So first of all, was that all intimidating when you got to that level and you're like, whoa, like this is the big dogs?
It was like, wow, the sets and the amount of energy and people and production that goes into all of these things to make it come to life is amazing. I remember walking on studio lots and being like, I cannot believe there are this many buildings on a lot. It's insanity. And LA is so different than New York. It's intimidating, but it was still so fun. For Tron, we fitted for, I mean, I want to feel like a month for these costumes. And at the time I was living in New York, so I was traveling back and forth from New York to LA for these fittings nonstop. The amount of work and energy that goes into all of this was always something that I was so in awe of. And just being in the presence of people who, I mean, their craft is an art. It really is. And the way that they are able to bring these characters to life in such a real way, I felt grateful.
What did you learn from being around those people that were so successful? Both obviously the actors that were making this art, but also you met so many crazy directors, like the biggest people. What did you learn from being around that level of success?
Work ethic. Even at that level, we always assume that people who are at these high end, whether there's directors, whether they're actors, whether they're producers, their work ethic is always at a high level that matches that. And there's a reason why they're there. As a young woman, that was really great to learn because you just assume that once people get to that level, that they don't have to do all the little things anymore. They don't have to think about all the little details anymore. And now they can pawn it off to their staff. And that's not the case. These people are thinking about the little minute details all the way up to the highest and most important details. And because of that, that's where everything works. That's why they are where they are. And that was interesting to really take into note. It starts with the minute. It really does. And that way you're able to build and build and build upon it to get to those big decisions. But to see people in those positions of power, see how they treated others, and also to see that they work super hard, their work ethic is nonstop, that's important for any young person to recognize.
There's like some cliche phrase that's like, new money feels like they want to put other people down, but true success, you want to lift other people up.
I think it is about how you treat people. For me, even when I'm on sets now, even when I'm on my own sets, which I'm executive producing and I'm creating, even as talent host, even on those sets, it's so important for me to know everyone's name because every role that is being played on that set makes a huge difference in how that production is going to play out. I think also coming to work, people want to feel seen no matter what position you're in. No one wants to think that they come to work and their job doesn't matter. that their job is just menial and it's over there and it doesn't make a big difference. Every job on that set makes a huge difference in the success or the failure of that project. It's so important for everyone, for me especially, to know everyone's name, everyone's position. So I know how to address people and make people know that they do feel seen and that their work does matter. It's about bringing people up so we can all optimize and work at a very optimal level.
That's such good career advice, because so many people suffer from imposter syndrome. When we get to these other levels, we kind of are like, oh, I have to be cool and act like the boss. No, that's how you get success. Whether you're in the film industry or not, it's because you're focused on the people delivering craft services. If they feel good about their job and they do their job well, that helps every level do their job well too.
You're right. Know everybody's name. Imposter syndrome, it's not even a negative thing to me. I think imposter syndrome is literally you. Do you know what it is a part of? Josie, it's a part of manifestation. Mm-hmm. Imposter syndrome, if you're using it right. Now, I'm not saying just be fake and do all the things. Imposter syndrome in the sense of you walking in and owning every room, or you walking in as if you're already in the position that you want to be in lines and career, is a very powerful thing. Your mind is very powerful. I do believe in the power of your words and your thought does somehow emit what it is that you're putting out into the world. And so if you're constantly telling yourself, no, I can't do that. No, that's not me. No, I'm not there yet. So no, I can't. You're constantly telling yourself no. So you're going to be pushing yourself down infinitely. Now, if you're constantly telling yourself, you know what? I have an opinion on that too. And maybe not now is the right time, but maybe I'll email it over. Or you know what? I am going to speak up and say this. Or you know what? I'm going to walk in like I do own my position and what I'm doing. Now we're giving ourselves positive. That positive is going to lead to the next, because people are going to take notice of that. Everyone likes to be around people who feel confident enough to speak, right? What their thoughts are, what their powers are. Everyone loves that. I thrive off of people who have opinions and people who say things that are not only educated, but also say it from a point of view, whether it's a life point of view. Everyone loves that. I love being around those type of people. And I think if you walk in with that, then everyone's going to be able to listen to you. And that's what it is. You need a little bit of imposter syndrome to get to that next level.
I have never correlated imposter syndrome with manifestation, but it makes so much sense. If you are in a position or in a life that you're like, yeah, this feels right. I'm not uncomfortable in it. This feels normal. You're holding yourself back. You should always feel like, oh my God, does everybody know that I'm not qualified to be here? And then you have to change your mindset, like you're saying too. No, but I have something to say. But if you don't have that initial imposter syndrome, maybe you're not thinking big enough.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Because I've dealt with years of chronic constipation, indigestion, and painful bloat after literally every meal, I have truly mastered my gut health protocol. I chew my food slowly, get into rest and digest before eating, and take Hum's Flatter Me Digestive Enzyme supplement before meals. You probably already know of Hum Nutrition. They're a leading vitamin brand on the forefront of wellness, and their digestive enzyme, Flatter Me, has garnered a cult following after going viral on TikTok for its benefits. Flatter Me is clinically tested to de-bloat fast and works after only one use. Seriously, you guys, it is the ultimate de-bloating hack. I like it for everyday use. It's filled with clean and natural ingredients that are overall good for the gut. But before I eat pizza or pasta or any foods that typically have made me bloated, it's a game changer. Like, I can actually go out to dinner, order a cacio e pepe with extra lemon, and not get uncomfortably bloated because I took a Flatter Me digestive enzyme before eating. To try for yourself, we got you an amazing deal. Head to humnutrition.com, that is humnutrition.com, and get 40% off your first order of $39 or more with code EveryGirl40. Go grab your Flatter Me digestive enzymes today, as this offer expires soon. That is humnutrition.com and use code EveryGirl40 for 40% off your first order of $39 or more. Happy digesting. You've had like 10 lives. What did you learn from the beauty pageant, the film, the modeling, all of these things that you applied when you launched Cool Mom Co? And I'm curious, because I always have found that there's like a thread in everybody where, even from the time they were young, they have this little thread, and that has helped them be successful in all these different ways to get them to where they are now. And I'm curious if you know what your thread is.
Whew. My thread, I think, has always been connecting with people. I've always loved learning from others. I think that every person, no matter who you are, has a story to tell. Everyone's story is so unique to them. And I think maybe it was just because I was raised around my grandmother, and my grandmother used to just tell me the most amazing stories and stories and stories about her life and her friends' lives. And I used to talk to her friends and they used to tell me stories. And so I think that the connector for me has always been, how do I share this story? How do I connect with this person and learn from the story? Even modeling, I loved being in front of the camera and I loved being able to take pictures. But for me, it was always about, what can I learn from everyone here on the crew? What can I learn from traveling to Germany and Africa? What can I learn from the different cultures that I'm able to experience? It was almost like modeling was a conduit for me to see the world at a young age. And that's what I used it for. How can I experience all these different places and learn from these stories? And then once I got into acting, it was cool because now I was able to tell these stories. Someone had taken so much time to write this script, and there was now a huge production team behind it and a director who was helping to share this story. So what can I do to tell the story of this person because it's so unique to this character? And now as my career has evolved into something different and with a cool mom co, now I'm able to share the stories of so many women. I get to talk to so many women who happen to be mothers and share the story of how they got to be where they are and how that intersection for them of motherhood and womanhood, how has that changed that transition in their lives, or how has it made it better or not? Also being able to tap into the unscripted space now, even on my show, Honest Renovations, I get to really tap into the stories of every family that we meet. If I had to choose a through line, it's always been connecting with people. How do I connect with this person to help share their story and my story?
I feel like connecting with people is the greatest superpower there is. Curiosity is, I feel like it's innate. You obviously have this innate curiosity and this innate empathy and connection. But I also feel like we consistently think of curiosity as a personality trait when really it's a skill. I love hearing that you were like, I loved hearing what I could learn from the crew. I loved traveling and seeing what I could learn from all these other places. Looking at your big picture, it makes so much sense how you are where you are because you have taken the time to be so curious and actively practicing that curiosity muscle. So then you can soak up everything.
That's exactly right. You hit the nail on the head, Josie. I think it's exactly right. And thank you for saying that because I think it's been a really important part of my story. I never thought about curiosity as, like you said, as a skill. It has just been something that has come naturally to me. I always ask questions, but I think over time, you're right. You sharpen what comes naturally and then it becomes a skill.
You mentioned your show, Honest Renovations, which first of all, so many good elements to it. I love a home renovation show so much, but then you, Jessica, your dynamic is so good together. Throw in the inspiring angle to it. You learn some good organization tips. It's such a good show. What made you want to do a show like this? How did this come to be?
We had been toying around with the idea of doing some sort of home renovation show for a minute. And we were like, we're redoing spaces. This is fun. We've done a couple of things of our on our own. And we just really enjoyed doing content together and hanging out together. And so we created this show. I came up with the idea of throwing families. We were going to do our friends at first. And I thought it'd be interesting being a mom of three, having insight and being able to talk from a real level of experience in terms of babies to toddlers, preteens, all those needs are very different. Being able to speak from really a level of like, hey, we understand as parents, transitions do happen and your home has to shift with you when you can't just pick up and move every single time. And so we really thought that would be a great idea and we pitched it out and Roku took on the show. And listen, I'm very proud of the fact that there is co-host, executive producers, co-creators of shows that are a Black woman and two women of color. That's really something to be super proud of.
That's amazing. Amazing. I mean, it's such a great show. So you guys were already working on projects together and you're like, oh, this is something we like. We can make this into a show rather than the network coming to you and being like, hey, come along on this home renovation show. It was your guys' idea.
Yeah, no. No one approached us with this one.
You ain't approaching them.
A labor of love. Let me tell you. No, it was something that we created ourselves. Where we are in this day and age now, too. Listen, people have always been creating shows themselves, but I think now people take it very seriously. I really, really, really credit social media, YouTube, Instagram, these places where creators really have taken the power of their ideas and put it into paper. I mean, look at Issa Rae. She was able to create a whole show on YouTube, get it sold, and had successful multiple season after season after season, and has really launched an amazing career off of something that just was on YouTube. And she picked up a camera with a couple of her friends and was like, yo, I'm going to do this. So I think really I do credit this idea of creators being able to take their ideas into their own hands now and having a little bit more power and agency. And we were able to pitch it out, which thankfully we didn't have to shoot it on our own. But we were able to say, hey, this is an idea that we think is going to be really great and successful. And we took meetings and not everyone was on board, but Roku was. And so that was really cool. I think there's something about that, too. Not always waiting. Once again, not always waiting for everyone to hand it to you or to call you and say, hey, do you guys want to do this? No one was thinking about me or her for this. We had to say, hey, this is something we really enjoy doing. We really like doing it together. And so let's make this happen.
That's such a big lesson we can learn from you, because it's such a big theme in your life of this almost like appreciation for when you can have control of your narrative and you can have your control of your destiny.
Maybe it goes back to some sort of childhood thing or something. Being raised with a single mother. I don't know what it is, but there's something inside me where I have always yearned for independence. Every decision I've made has been, how do I get closer to being more independent? To being able to call the shots for myself and not relying on every single person to call them for me. It's just like, how do I get closer to that? It's very difficult for me to put all of my eggs in someone else's basket. Very difficult. Now, more than ever, with social media, everyone has the power to create their own narrative and build their own brand. How beautiful is that? You don't have to wait for anyone else to create it for you. You have the power to create your own narrative. What drives you? What's your ethos and your value system of your brand and how the world will see you? You have the power to do that. You do not have to wait for anyone else to make that happen for you. How amazing is that? If we can always remember that, then we have the power to create our own situation. We do not have to wait for anyone to hand it to us. And I'm trying to lean into it fully.
Mic drop on that one. What a great barometer is freedom. I feel like there are so many people that are like, am I on the right career path? Is this the right move for me? Should I take this job or this job? To think which is getting me closer to feeling in full agency of my life, that I have full freedom, that I'm in control of my life. What's going to get you closer to that? Forget money. That's all we need.
Well, that's Josie. Don't get it.
Money is also freedom. That's true.
Give you that trifecta, right? The trifecta of what's going to be able to move me financially, where I feel comfortable, where I am financially. What's going to be able to give me more agency and decision-making on my time, my resources? And then what's going to fulfill me? Is it that I love being creative? Is it love? I love being more analytical, whatever it is for you. But what's going to fulfill me career-wise more? As long as you can hit on those three things as you're making decisions, you hit those three things. And then I think you're moving closer and closer to whatever your goal is.
That is such good advice. Lizzie, we're going to wrap up with some rapid fire questions. First one, your biggest starstruck moment.
Ooh, I haven't met Oprah yet or Michelle Obama, but when that does, that's going to be pretty starstruck.
Okay.
Did meet Martha Stewart very randomly, and that was a pretty big deal for me because I love everything entertaining and lifestyle space and like home and kitchen. Next time I'm going to make a whole moment of it, but the first time I was just like, hi, I'm like,
you get so nervous.
They also say, be very careful about meeting your heroes, you know, because people are true. Human. You have to realize that, like, everyone has their own day. If you meet the right person on the wrong day, I mean, you never know, but she was very kind. Martha was very kind. She was very, you know, she's Martha. She's like, hi. She doesn't even need to say anything else. I was like, hi. And you're like, I'm freaking out.
Martha's a good one. And we're going to manifest Oprah and Michelle. We'll manifest it. Your number one organization or design tip that you learned from doing Honest Renovations.
Oh, everything has a place. Whether it's the kitchen, the playroom, even your office. With the kids' spaces, color code everything. Every child either has a label or a color that they know exactly where their things go. And that's been a really big thing coming up on season 2. So that's like a fun tip to look out for. And then in the kitchen, I love moving around the kitchen. I love cooking. I love entertaining. But it's also being able to know exactly where things are when you need to get to them. Because when you're cooking, it's all about movement, right? It's about time. It's like, I need that grater right now, or I need that juicer right now, that spatula, or this is going to burn. So it's about being organized and really laying a kitchen out to your needs. So spices are closer to the stove. Trash is closer to your sink, because when you chop and things and you wash and rinse and you toss. So there's a whole methodology with it. Just organizing, having everything in its place is super important, no matter what room you're in.
So much strategy and intention. Like, I did not think of that when I moved into my current kitchen. So I'm going to remember that for next move.
There's a whole slew of them. We could talk about it later, Joe.
That's part two. Okay, next question. Best piece of advice you've ever received?
My mom used to always say, just keep on breathing, kid. Just keep on breathing. And I think the idea behind it was life is going to life, and don't worry. As long as you just keep on breathing, everything will work itself out. It's almost like another way of just saying, hey, plan for the future, but live in the moment.
I'm going to say that to myself now. So thank you to your mom, because I'm going to think of that often. A book that changed your life.
I was thinking about this the other day, and it's funny because I did a read-in at my daughter's school this morning too. Funny enough. For me, I think it was The Alchemist. The Alchemist was one of those books for me that I read pretty young, and I think that it helped to shape a lot of things for me. I think it's just a reminder. Your journey is the destination. You figuring out what your life's path is, you're living it constantly. It's not just one place where you have to finally arrive at. So we all have this idea of success. We all have this idea of, okay, this is my pinnacle. As soon as I get there, I made it. I've done everything. And I think even Oprah, when I was listening to something recently, and she said she just follows the light. Like, she had no idea of the success that she was going to end up having. She just kept following the light. The Alchemist is very good at reminding you the journey is the process. The journey is the destination. You just keep along on your journey and enjoy the moments of your journey. And the destination, you don't even have to worry about, because it'll just naturally come.
What a beautiful takeaway of, we're already living it. We're so programmed to be like, I'll be happy when, or I'll be successful when, or I'll prioritize my relationship when. And it's like, no. Right now is it.
You're living it now. Time is not guaranteed. What do they say? The youth is wasted on the young. I think we all think we're invincible, and time is not promised to any of us. And so I think really it becomes, why not now? Why not now? Why not you? Why not in this moment? Why tomorrow? Why not today? It's those sort of questions that I constantly try and ask myself. Reminding ourselves of that keeps us here, because tomorrow you may not have the opportunity. Next year, you may not have the same opportunity. So make the opportunity now. You don't wait. I think that's the biggest thing. Don't wait. And I think when we're young, we're always like, oh, we can wait. Oh, we can figure it out. Oh, we can do that. We have time. And I think now, like, listen, time is ticking. For me personally, it's a healthy place to be, because I would naturally be a procrastinator if I could. And I think it helps remind me that the procrastination is just putting it off in time.
What a freaking powerful note to end on. Lizzie, where can everyone find you? Listen to your podcast, watch Honest Renovations. Give us all the tea.
You can find me at Lizzie Mathis across all socials, Instagram. You can find the Cool Mom Code podcast on anywhere that you listen to podcasts. And you can find Honest Renovations on Roku. And then definitely check out thecoolmom.co, the website, which is all the tips and tricks and lifestyle and mothers. And we always highlight cool moms every week and all their cool things that are happening. So check it out.
Lizzie, thank you so much. I'm just obsessed with you. This was such a great conversation. Thank you so much for sharing all of this and for joining me today.
Oh, thank you, Joseph, for having me. I really appreciate it.
If you enjoyed the episode, I know I sure did. Please do not forget to rate, review, and subscribe. It really makes a huge difference for our show, so we can keep growing and bringing the content that you love. If you want more info, you can find us at The Evergirl Podcast on Instagram or theevergirlpodcast.com. Talk to you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.